EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is
dispatch.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Alright, Bob, take a look. Alright, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're all having a good week. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight we meet Robin from Colorado, and Robin is a lifelong experiencer with visitations by non-human entities, vivid dreams of UFOs, out-of-body experiences, and sightings of orbs and crafts. And it's been non-stop for Robin. Robin up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Robin, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you.
Great to have you come on. And you're calling from Colorado today.
Yes. Yep. Western Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, Robin, as a lifelong experiencer, you're going to be sharing several of your encounters. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please?
Yeah, Nick. Thank you so much. So the timeline is going to be a little, I'm going to jump around a little bit because strangely, the beginning of all of this for me in a conscious way was in late 2019. I had had lifelong experiences, and I had obviously gone through the process of living them, but I hadn't been able to order it into anything that made sense. It was just a lot of fear that went along with it. But in late 2019, I hadn't had experiences for a few years. And in December of 2019, it all started up again. And what happened during that time was that I began to have paralysis and, you know, buzzing and visitations once again that I had earlier in my life. And what this generally feels like is I'm laying in bed and all of a sudden my body just starts going through an overwhelming buzzing sensation. And in late 2019, when this started happening again, the first experience that I had during that time was that I had that intense buzzing sensation. And I, you know, there's always often a feeling of sort of lifting up. Sometimes it's a full out of body experience, or sometimes it's just this sensation of being lifted. And I lifted up, I rose into this golden, buzzing, overwhelming light, and I heard a collective of voices that I've heard before, and they said, "We can't go that low, you have to come higher." And the buzzing intensified, and I went higher, and I just went into a very altered state that was all emotion and sensation and light. And that sort of restarted all of my experiences in 2019. And then after that, I had several out-of-body experiences, which I haven't had for a long time. It's really overwhelming. You know, the paralysis is terrifying. The not being able to talk to anybody about it is terrifying, not knowing what it is or what to do with it. And so as a result of that, I decided to get a between life soul regression, which Michael Newton did a lot of work around this. And basically, you know, a past life regression is how it starts. And then you regress to the time between lives and you sort of find out what your soul mission is. And I really wanted to know why this was happening to me. What's my purpose on earth? I've always been had this very strong sense of mission. So I had this regression, and through the regression, it was very unexpected and rattling. You know, it was a very difficult experience to go through. But basically, during my between life space, I communicated with beings from other planets, from another space or dimension or planet. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but told me that I had signed up for this and gave me a specific mission as to why I was here. And that was, like I said, absolutely unexpected. And it rattled me for many months after that experience. And one of the things that they told me to do was to write a book, which I thought was the most ridiculous thing that an extraterrestrial being could tell you, is to write a book. But I've since learned that that's apparently something that happens. And it was through writing the book and looking back through my life that I was able to kind of make sense of everything that had happened to me, or at least put it into a narrative that is useful rather than it being just this series of scary and confusing experiences. And so with that, I'll start now kind of at the beginning. My very first experience that I remember, I was 4 or 5 years old. I grew up very connected to nature. My parents were back to the lander hippies. I grew up in a geodesic dome. For the first several years, we didn't have indoor plumbing. We didn't have electricity. We lived in a little valley in the middle of nowhere in southern Colorado. And it was a very idyllic childhood. But I'm an extremely sensitive person. I was an extremely sensitive child. And so being that closely connected to nature and not having any buffer between my experience of the world, and it wasn't run through the culture. You know, it was a very direct experience of life. And so when I was 4 or 5 years old, I remember standing in, you know, downstairs in the dome in the kitchen, which would have been difficult for me to get to without waking up the house, because it's sort of a one-room space. And there's a ladder-like staircase made of wood, and it's sort of creaky. And there, you know, I don't know how I got down there without waking up the house, but I was standing down in the kitchen, and in front of me was it's still difficult to talk about this stuff, but in front of me there was an insectoid being, and I wasn't afraid. He had an exoskeleton and is sort of red brown and otherwise is human shaped, you know, a head and two arms and two legs. Because of the exoskeleton and the color, I called him Ant-Man in my head. And that's what I called him. That's what I still call him, because that's how it presented to me in my, you know, 4 or 5 year old mind. That's the closest I could come. And he was standing in front of me, and I got the sense that he was just checking on me. I have a couple of other vague memories from childhood where he would come and visit, but mixed in with that experience and with those early years of my childhood were also these dreams of Armageddon. I called them my Armageddon dreams. I would have, for example, after this experience at 4 or 5 years old, I recall, you know, the next thing I kind of remember was being in this dream of seeing the planet in turmoil. So explosions and fire and people running and visions like that. And I had those dreams for most of my life. I haven't had them in a while, but when I was a kid, they were common. And my parents, we were not religious. I certainly at that age had no context for them. So it was scary. So I would have these dreams, and also along with these dreams, this very intense sense of mission. Like I was supposed to do something about this, which was also very confusing. I had multiple times where I would sort of wake up and be outside of my house in the sky, you know, this sensation of kind of floating away from my home with an entity next to me. And those were just common experiences when I was a kid. It was part of the landscape of reality for me. And I didn't realize until later that everybody's landscape wasn't that way. The first time that I saw a UFO that I can remember, I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And my sister and my cousins and I had gone to sleep in the front yard in a tent. And it was summer and we had the rain flap off. So we were laying in the tent looking up at the sky. And I lived, you know, we lived very remotely. So the stars were always incredible. And there was a red light in the sky that my memory of it is that it was really, really high up in the stars. It wasn't low down in the valley. And it was flying back and forth and making sharp right and left turns and zipping around, going really fast and then going slower. And we were all excited by it. I was really, really excited by it because it was kind of undeniably something that was not identifiable. We didn't know what it was. And I just note that because I'd forgotten about that for a really long time that I had that experience. But again, going back and writing this book and kind of putting all of these pieces together, I've remembered quite a bit of what happened. So I'm this very, very sensitive kid in this very idyllic life. I grew up around horses and we had a beehive, and it was a really beautiful, beautiful childhood. And I, because of my nature, because of my sensitivity, when I left that valley to go to college, I was very unprepared for the world. My connection to the natural world made sense to me. There was no fairy tale sort of Disney version of nature. I saw the hard things. I saw when things died. I saw things being born. It made a lot of sense to me. And going out into, I guess, the real world made no sense to me. It was very, very difficult. And I spent a lot of time just kind of running during that time. I had a lot of chaos in my life, addiction, and the world was very scary for me and remained that way for a really long time. And I bring that up because there seemed to be a correlation for me, not always, but at several times in my life when I sort of stopped running and settled down somewhere and got sober for a period of time, all of these anomalous experiences would come back. That pattern repeated several times in my life. And the first time that it did, I was living in northern New Mexico and my life was very quiet. I had a career. I kind of had my life together a little bit. And right in the middle of that, I started, for the first time that I remember in my life, having that paralysis I was talking about. So I would be laying in bed, falling asleep, and suddenly this overwhelming buzzing sensation would happen, and also just full body paralysis. And for anyone who's had that experience, you know, it's completely terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And many times there would be a sensation of someone in the room, the feeling of something climbing onto the bed. I had several experiences where I woke up out of that and everything in my room would be shaking. The bed would be shaking. There would be paintings smacking the walls. Really, really terrifying things happening. And I had no context for it. I didn't know what to do with it. Often during that time as well, I would sort of, you know, go through that paralysis experience, have a sensation of losing consciousness, and then I would be standing on the floor next to my bed, looking down at my own body in bed. So what I later learned were out-of-body experiences. And during that, several times there would be a being there, an entity there, and they would take me and we would travel together. Would wake up in the morning after this and research, what is this? What's happening to me? And the closest that I could come to was the sleep paralysis. And there are a lot of similarities between sleep paralysis and what I experience. And then there are a lot of things that are not that as well. Sleep paralysis doesn't make everything in the bed, you know, in the bedroom shake. And I have heard of people having sleep paralysis and then going into out-of-body experiences. So it was the closest that I could come to what I was going through. But it didn't answer all of my questions. And I finally confided in some people about what was going on with me. And, you know, the answers that I got were, maybe you should see a psychiatrist. And, you know, this is a medical issue and or a mental state issue or something. And that was really a difficult time for me as well, because I had the sensation that it wasn't just that. Because of my experiences as a child, I had similar things happen before. So there were multiple things going on at this time. Another thing that happened was that I, in my dreams, I began to have these orbs, you know, or spheres of color and light show up. And so I would be dreaming often an Armageddon dream, very distressing, you know, running and lines of refugees. And out of the sky in those dreams would float down these orbs. And there were three of them. One was sort of a purple, a deep purple. One was a kind of an indigo blue, and then there was a green one, and they would float down out of the sky. Oftentimes they would sort of envelop me in the dream, and there'd be this, again, sort of sensation of becoming unconscious and then waking up in a new place or shifting to a different dream. I, you know, I've had so many of these experiences that I am able to discern when it's a dream, when it's out of body, and when there's something else going on that's more physical than that. So these spheres began to teach me things and give me these lessons. One of them, for example, the most one that has stayed with me for up until today, you know, is a kind of a lesson that I go back to over and over. And it was specifically with the purple sphere. This, it sort of flexed around me, and I popped into the bubble of this purple sphere, and inside was a being, an entity wearing a long purple cloak with a high collar, feminine, looked human, but had crazy, wild gray hair and a feeling of being sort of in a teaching space was the sense that I got. And walking along, we were walking through a landscape similar to where I grew up. So it was, you know, the Southwest and Texas and things like that, walking through this landscape. And she was speaking to me and teaching me things. And she was saying that in order to move to a new sort of state of being, to a new paradigm, all of the bodies have to be close in frequency or vibration. And in this space, that made absolute sense to me. I understood what she was talking about. As we were walking along, there was a spider rising on the ground in front of us. And she was very clear to say, she said, this isn't literal. This isn't, you know, a literal spider that we're seeing. There's nothing bad about spiders, nothing like that. But what she was showing me was there's all this like anger and pain and rage coming off of this spider. And being in this sphere that we were in, it was writhing in pain and couldn't exist there because of all the anger, and eventually it died. And I understood the metaphor of that. In that space, there was just so much clarity. My consciousness was kind of free of all of my doubts and overanalyzing and meaning making. And she showed me that metaphor and it made sense to me. And we continued walking along and came to the edge of the sphere. And on the outside of it was a friend of mine who was angry and raging and crying. And I was saying, come in here. It's great in here. Everything makes sense. And it's really clear. And it's just about love. And the being that was next to me reminded me, she said, her physical body could not make the trip at this moment. If she tries to move from that state of being into this other state of being too quickly, her physical body won't survive the trip. And so that's just an example of the things that I was being taught and how that lesson has continued to unfold through my life. And I continue to have a greater understanding of it, as especially now as I'm kind of returning to going at the pace of my physical body and really listening to its wisdom and understanding that I can't just snap my fingers and be in a new state of being, that my emotional body, my physical body, my mental body of existence all have to go together, and the body goes the slowest. So that's an example of what I was being taught during that time. I kind of, in response to, it felt like in response to me considering seeing a psychiatrist and going on medication during all of this, these difficult things that were happening. During this time, I also started to have a lot of precognitive events. So mostly in dreams, I would have this really detailed dream of someone in my life, and I would wake up and I would call them or send them an email or something and tell them about it. And over again, they would say, how did you know that? Oh my God, that's exactly what's going on. And so I started getting all this confirmation that the things that were happening inside of me were somehow connected to things that were happening outside of me. And that gave me courage. And it gave me strength to believe in my own experience rather than what, you know, the culture might have to say about my experience, that I needed medication or something like that. So that was a really helpful thing that happened during that time as well. And the next, one of the top three most profound and important experiences in my life happened after the precognitive dreams began and the spheres, you know, were actively coming to me. I was still having the paralysis and the fear that was going on with that. And one night I was paralyzed and I was fighting. I was really fighting to get out of this paralysis because it's so terrifying. So I would be paralyzed and I would use all of my effort and will and wrench my body and move my body. And then I would instantly be paralyzed again. And it sort of felt like I was drowning in it. I could not get my head above water. And it seemed like it went on for hours in the middle of the night, just fighting this paralysis. And finally, because I didn't know what else to do, I had the thought, what if I just surrendered to this? What if I just stopped fighting and let whatever was going to happen, happen? Others have asked me if that's a good idea. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it's a good idea to surrender to these things that are happening. But when I did, which took a lot of courage, I had to really kind of gather my courage to surrender and stop fighting against the paralysis and just let whatever was going to happen, happen to me. So when I was able to do that, the buzzing, the overwhelming noise and light and vibration came over me, and it felt like I was inside of it. And instantly, my consciousness was clear. I was not, you know, the fear was gone, the constraining, restricting parts of my mental process were gone. And I was just had a lot of clarity of consciousness. And what I realized was that all of these, you know, this buzzing, this vibration was every sound simultaneously on the planet, was what I was, the information that I was told, or that I just knew. I feel like I just knew that that's what it was. And because of that, I knew that that anywhere that I wanted to go, anywhere that I wanted to travel, all that I had to do was focus on a specific sound and I would instantly be there. And that's what happened. So I focused on one particular sound, which was a rustling in the leaves. And I instantly, I felt like I was zooming through space, but that it happened in an instant just to get to that location where that was happening. And what it was night in a jungle, and there was a jungle cat, this black panther or jaguar. And I instantly went inside of that being. My consciousness went inside of that being, and I had the sensation, I had every sensation that cat had, exquisitely sensitive hearing. My vision, even though it was night, was extraordinary. I could feel kind of an electric charge as I walked on the earth and connected the pads of my feet with the earth. It felt like every hair on my body was an antenna. I had a 360 degree, three-dimensional map of what was around me because all of my senses just worked that way. It was extraordinary. I feel vulnerable telling these stories. I really, really do. I get very used to being inside of my own head about it, and I know that these things happen to me, but I feel a little vulnerable. So I, as I was in, you know, inside of this experience, this fully embodied experience, the buzzing began to return. I kind of began to hear it, and I realized that I could experience whatever I wanted to just by focusing on the sound. So I had that understanding, but the next thing that happened was that I felt, you know, I left that scene. I felt like myself again, sort of an ethereal version of myself. And I felt like I was made up of all these tiny little champagne bubbles, all these little maybe molecules of me. And all these things happened simultaneously, so it's hard to talk about in a linear sort of aspect. But the next thing, you know, I had that sensation of myself as all these little particles of me. And I found myself in this velvety black void, although it wasn't a void because it was full of this rich intelligence, you know, this velvety black rich space that I was in. And the little particles of me, the little bubbles of me began to spread out and get farther and farther away from each other. And that made me afraid. I felt like I was dissolving. I was trying to keep track of all of those parts of me because it felt like my consciousness was in all of those parts as well. It felt like it was sort of dissolving and expanding, and it was a scary feeling. And then in front of me, there was an entity, that physical presence that I could discern, but I understood that there was this feminine entity in front of me. And she was beckoning me towards this sort of gateway, this kind of triangular shape that was vacuuming me into it, that was pulling me in and drawing me into this gateway, and she was beckoning me to go through. And as I was getting closer to it, the little particles of me were already through it, and that made me really scared. And I had a sensation that I had a thought, actually, I had a very clear thought that on the other side of that gateway is where we go when we die. And I just knew that with certainty, and that terrified me. It terrified me that part of me was already through. And so I used all of my strength and will and pulled myself back away from it. And the next thing I knew, I was back in my body, back in bed. And I sat up in bed and I gasped. My heart was pounding. I was full of adrenaline. It was such a real, undeniably real experience. And so I had this, my body was having this big fear reaction and all this adrenaline and trying to figure out what had just happened. And then for no good reason, I immediately just laid back down, put my head on the pillow. And the second that I did, I was in a dream. And in the dream, I was in my childhood valley, and I was looking at the horizon, and it was a snowy field. And between the snowy field and the tree line, right at that line of the horizon, these four massive beings rose up, and they were taller than the ridge line. They were huge, and they were made of that golden buzzing electric light in sound, but in this, it was silent in the dream. And when they rose up, there were four of them, and they were one mass. So it was four heads and four sets of shoulders, but the rest was just one mass. And they said, "We are here for you when you're ready." And so that experience, the intensity, the undeniable reality of it, how overwhelming it was, how thrilling it was in a lot of ways. It was very magical and exciting and confusing.
The 40N Film Festival is a new celebration of cinema, created by people who have a passion for all things weird and paranormal. The current season is now open for submissions. Get involved if you're a filmmaker that has a penchant for poltergeists and adores aliens. Or if you're a producer devoted to demonology, with a soft spot for sci-fi. The deadline for submissions to this IMDb-approved festival is fast approaching. Go to www.fortianfilmfestival.com to submit your film or buy tickets, if you dare.
And after that experience, I decided that I needed to drastically change my life, which is one of the things that all of my lifetime of experience have done for me over and over again, have brought me to a point through these specific experiences with other beings and other entities where I've completely reordered my life. And that happened at this moment in my life, and I gave away everything that I owned. I rented out my house in New Mexico because I couldn't sell it fast enough. If I could have sold it, I just would have sold it. I rented out my house and I got a yurt, and I moved to 200 empty acres. And for the next year and a half or so, I lived in the yurt. I had one little solar panel to give me a lamp and charge my phone and things like that, but I didn't have any electricity beyond that. I didn't have a refrigerator. I had a wood stove that I cooked all of my meals on, no running water. And it was very, again, this return to nature and the natural world. And during that time, I had a lot of experiences. I saw a lot of UFOs. I had a lot of intense dreams. I had a lot of UFO dreams, which are their own unique quality and experience. Many dreams of, you know, standing outside, looking up at the stars, and then all of a sudden, all of the stars start to move, and they're just swarms of light. That is a dream that I've had for my entire life. And then also saw craft in the sky there on a regular basis. I had to go outside at night if I needed to use the restroom, and in the middle of winter, in the middle of night, in the middle of nowhere in Colorado, the sky is full of stars, and you see stuff. And I saw a lot of things there. So after I left the yurt, I went through a pretty tough time. I started drinking again. I was really struggling with that. I won't go into the whole story of that, but I'm bringing it up because an important event happened during that time, which is that the next time that I saw the beings, the next time that I saw the who I call the 4-who-are-1, that mass of beings, was in that space. It was a very dark time. I was in a really rough relationship, really struggling. And one night I was just in a blackout drunk, and I fell. And when I fell, I broke my ankle pretty badly, and I sprained my other foot pretty badly. It was a terrible experience. But as I was falling, that's the only memory that I have of that night, is that as I was falling, this very clear experience of those four beings in the room with me. And they told me it was this or something worse. And I have no doubt in my mind that I was stopped literally in my tracks, because my life was getting so out of control and I was doing so much damage to myself. And I believe that they saved me from my life getting worse and worse, and that they also saved me from some pretty heavy karma that would have come my way if I had continued down that path. So it was incredibly painful. It was dramatic and drastic, but that was the last day I had a drink, and I'm 5.5 years sober. They really, you know, I really feel like they intervened. And I want to be careful with that, because during that time, I also had a lot of really dark experiences, and it wasn't with them specifically, but not all beings that we don't see are good. People have had really horrendous experiences with entities. And I don't believe that we can, I think they're like the human race. Some are good, some are wonderful, some are, you know, less conscious, some are suffering and wounded, some have agendas that are not for our highest good. And so even though I've had a mix of experiences with them, this one was, I felt done with a lot of love and concern, but I still broke my ankle and I still went through a really, really difficult time following that. So, but my experience in that moment in my life was that it was a positive thing for me. And I felt like they were looking out for me. And I'll also say at this moment, until later in my life, I didn't necessarily associate them with the word alien, or I still don't know what they are. I still don't know who they are. It's all mixed together, these experiences, and I'm still trying to make sense of it all. You know, after that experience, after breaking my ankle, after my life just really stopped and had to be reordered, I did a lot of healing. I did a lot of therapy. I never told my therapist about these experiences. One therapist I had told early on, just hinted at it, gave me an impression that that was not okay to talk about. And so the healing that I did was around relationship and around trauma and addiction and things like that. And also during that time, I went through a lot of deconditioning or reconditioning around the New Age movement, because there was a lot of it that was very, very helpful for me. And then there was a lot of it that was very damaging for me, sort of the toxic positivity, the spiritual bypassing, the just, you know, that you can, you know, the sort of easy answer of you can manifest anything. And if you're not happy, it's kind of your fault. Or if bad things happen to you, it's because your vibration isn't high enough. Like, it's very difficult to pick apart the truth in those things and the things that are damaging. And I spent a lot of time doing that during that time in my life. Like, what is my actual experience? What is real and true for me? And what feels like I'm skipping steps, or I'm just trying to bail on the difficult parts of the experience of life, or whatever it is. A lot of that brings, you know, during that time, I kind of stopped having experiences, and I stopped having dreams even. I didn't even have any profound dreams, which is a very strange thing for me in my life. I'd always had very vivid, profound dreams that would help me with things or teach me things or entertain me, even just something, you know, but all of my experiences and even my dreams really faded away for about 2 years, 2.5 years. And then again, at the end of 2019, it all came back with a vengeance. And that's when I decided to get the regression. That's when I began to come to terms with putting these experiences in some kind of narrative that would be useful for me in my life. And I was told to write this book. I really, really didn't want to, because what they wanted me to do was write about not just this stuff that I'm talking about, but also all of the really, you know, the trauma, the drama that was in my life, the addiction, and getting clarity around all of that, around what was what, learning to recognize what state of being I was in, and sort of also just confessing these really bizarre things that had happened to me my whole life, and I really, really didn't want to do it. So, again, this is late 2019, so 2020 happens. The pandemic, as we all know, just was a very confusing time, really hard to make sense of anything. But my experiences continued during that time. And towards the end of 2020, I moved into a new place. And the minute that I moved in, I began to have this overwhelming kind of paralyzing fear, although there was no good reason for it. My apartment's great. I live in a nice neighborhood. My life is fine. You know, I couldn't understand this fear that I was having, but I just began to feel this immense pressure and this immense sensation that I was supposed to be doing something with my life that I wasn't. I had a feeling that I was being watched. I could not sleep. And when I did sleep, I would have nightmares. I started having the paralysis again on a regular basis. And then I had I have a hard time talking about this, but I had three back-to-back experiences with white birds that shifted everything so radically and kind of shook me that I began to write the book. And I just said, here we go. I'm just going to say it all. I'm just going to do it. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I can't make this pressure go away. And so writing the book relieved a lot of that for me, because I was able to make sense of my life and in some ways and put it into a narrative. And around that time as well, I discovered ufology, which I didn't even know was a thing. I knew nothing about the history of ufology, that people had experiences that were similar to mine, that they'd had dreams like mine, that my experience was similar to anyone else's. I had no idea. But I start to engage with that world, and it's terrifying for me. I buy Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, and I just put it on my altar. I just like put it there, and I would look at it, and I couldn't crack it because I was so afraid of what was inside of it. But eventually, as I'm writing and as I got help, by the way, I joined a group of people that had similar experiences, and I could talk to them. And so I started attending these support groups for this, and that really helped me. And I sort of gained my courage and began engaging with this stuff. And it changed everything in my life. I had a very successful career for 15 years that I quit. I just could no longer do it. I knew my life was taking me in a different direction. I got certified to facilitate past life and between life regressions, hypnotic regressions. I started really pouring my life into these other fields, and I started to trust my own interior experience. All these experiences that I had pushed away as crazy or too weird or didn't know what to make sense of, I started giving them a validity in my life. That is truly when everything changed for me, when I started to be able to hold paradox and to hold a broader understanding of, you know, I don't know, I doubt that I will ever have the answers to any of this. It remains a mystery, but I can hold it now and I can see it. And I trust that what happened to me. And I guess I'll wrap it up. I have so many experiences in my life, but the other, you know, one of the three main experiences, the three most profound experiences in my life, I'll share the last one, because it happened a little over a year ago. And it was similar to the time when the spheres and things were showing up, because it set me on a path of once again completely changing my life. So one thing that I did, I started to work with my guides. I started to develop a spiritual practice. I started to meditate a lot more and sort of strengthen my container so that I could hold these experiences and they wouldn't knock me off my square every time they happened. So I was doing all of that. I was meditating a lot, and I was setting protection around me so that I could, you know, if I had experiences, I could go into them less fearful. And it was working, and that was great. It was a relief. I could sleep. I wasn't having as many nightmares. And one morning I was meditating, laying in bed, and I began to feel the shifting vibration, buzzing light, you know, that sensation that I'm so familiar with. And that has become, for me, an indicator that they would like to communicate. And because I've been doing all this work and meditating and developing trust in my experience and in my guides and things, I agreed. I said, I was meditating and I got the buzzing and I said, okay, I agree to whatever experience this is going to be. And I, as soon as I did that, I, you know, had this sensation of lifting. And for the first time, this, I think the first time ever in any of my experiences, I could see. And so I looked down my body. I had been laying on my back. I looked down my body and it looked like the covers of, you know, my blankets were tented over me as if I was physically levitating. I don't know if I was, but that's what it looked like. And that's what it felt like. And that was my experience. I thought to myself, wow, that's never happened before. And then the next thing was that I did leave my body. I shot up out of my body. I had a very clear visual of being right next to the ceiling. I could see the little edge of paint, you know, where the wall met the ceiling. I could see the texture on the ceiling. And then went through the ceiling. I could see my roof below me, my neighborhood, the city, you know, the landscape. I went higher and higher and higher, and I went really, really fast up into that. It felt like I went into the cosmos, into space. I could see little stars in the distance. And I stopped suddenly. And then I believe that it was the four who are one, that collective of beings, handed me down something that it's hard to explain, but it was sort of a line of buzzing light and electricity. And they gave it to me. And I didn't know what it was for, but I understood that it was for me. And I took it. And then in the next moment, I was back in bed. But I was on my side. So, you know, when I was meditating, I was flat on my back. But when I was back in bed now, I was kind of over on my side, and the blankets were halfway across my face. And I didn't understand that. I thought that was weird. And I felt very heavy in my body and very difficult to sit up. It was really hard to open my eyes. And I was sort of slowly blinking my eyes open. And as I did that, I sat up and blinked my eyes open, and everything in the room was like a misty gray. And I didn't understand what was happening. I flicked the light next to my bed to try to turn on the light, and the light didn't work. And I remember thinking, that's really weird. The power must be out. And then sort of in an instant, the wall in front of me that was also that misty gray, but had depth to it. And out of that depth came four beings. I had the sensation that they were the four who are one, but they weren't in one mass. They just came into the room, and they were next to my bed. And I looked around and I realized that it was my bedroom, but there was this matrix everywhere. It was this grid, and it was hexagonal shapes. It was a honeycomb matrix of hexagons. And I could see inside of the hexagons that there were little bits of information in there. And the beings, you know, this all happened quickly, and lots of information coming in all at once. And they told me, they said, this is what your reality, meaning this reality that we all exist in, that humanity exists in on this planet. They said, this is what reality hangs on, that this is behind the scenes of reality. And I was looking around, and if I looked to the left, I could see all of the hexagons, and it was really clear. And it went way back into space and up and down and left and right and forward and back. It was multi-dimensional. And then if I turned to look somewhere else, that faded away. And then wherever I looked, then I could see the matrix over where I was looking now. And they said, you need to learn to use the operating system of your reality. They said, where you place your attention and the quality of your attention can affect this reality. And I said, am I not in my body? And I got this sensation that they were very disappointed in me, that I didn't appreciate how much effort it took for this visitation to happen. And I felt like I should be asking better questions, but I said, I need to get back in my body now. And then in the next instant, I sat up in bed, everything was back to normal. I turned the lights on, the lights worked, and it was gone. And that experience shook me to my core. I had to get up and go to work. You know, I had to go on about my day. People did not understand when I told them about it. It was incredibly real, just like all these other experiences I had were real. So, but since then, what I've learned, I believe, is that the light that they gave me, the line of light and vibration and sound, is to help me travel more easily. It's to help me communicate with them more easily and to help me navigate these other spaces that I keep finding myself in anyway, whether I want it or not. And it's to help that make that easier. And it seems to be working. I've been working with it and trying to learn to use it. I think that kind of wraps it up, Nick. I feel so, it still is so hard to talk about all of this. I will say a couple more things. One of them is that through this final process, or the last year or whatever, of me really making sense, trying to make sense of these things that happened in my life, I have discovered this incredible devotion to our planet, to the planet Earth, to humanity, to what we're facing. I have this, you know, that deep sense of mission that I've always had, only intensified, this sense of the Earth as a consciousness herself, and that this new sort of life energy is moving through me, and it's very much related to nature and to these long cycles that humanity has had, where we keep falling, you know, we keep kind of rising up and falling, and that we're facing that right now. I've come to a moment in my life where my dedication and devotion is to our planet and to humanity. I'm not anti-humanity. I know that we do a lot of things that are not in alignment with our highest potential and with what could be here on this planet, but I have a lot of faith in us, and I'm in devotion and dedication to all of that. In fact, I'm ready to once again return to a life very connected to nature.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
Part of my mission is to talk about this stuff because I think that culturally, the interior of our lives is not respected. It's not seen as something to pay attention to. We're only supposed to pay attention to this external world where we're sort of running towards the edge of this cliff as fast as we can. And I think that I want to help people remember how rich and beautiful and important their own interior landscapes are. That's all. I think I did it. I think I said everything, Nick. Thank you for listening and holding that space.
First of all, congratulations on being 5.5 years sober.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a big deal for me.
It is a big deal. You know, it's no easy feat. And also, congratulations on finishing your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That was also, it's been like a year and a half, and I had no idea how hard it was to write a book, but the beings told me they told me this very clearly. They said the book will span the gap between these two major blocks of your life. And that's exactly what it's done. And so it's been a true gift to be able to sort of write myself into the story of my life. It's been really amazing.
Have you got a website? Your book's available now, is it?
It's not. It should be soon. It's finished, going through the last editing process. But I do have, the book is called Earth, A Love Story. And I do have that website, Earth, A Love Story. But at the moment, it takes you to my personal website, the other work that I do with the regressions and things like that. But soon, in the next few months, I'm hoping to get it published, and then it'll be available. And if you go to my website, you'll be able to find it. But right now, it's still in a Google document on my computer and not out in the world yet, but it's getting there.
Okay. So your website is?
There's a couple ways you can get to it. One is the name of my business, which is Honey Heart. So it's honeyheart.org. And then you can also find the same website at earthalovestory.com.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll put the link for the listeners down below in the show description. Some of the beings that you've encountered, how many different types over the years would you have said from what you were 4 or 5 when it all began?
You know, the one at the age of 4 or 5 was clearly insectoid. And people have asked me if it was a mantis being, because I know that people have experience with mantis. And I don't know the answer to that. I suspect that it's not unlikely, but there, you know, he was certainly an insectoid being. The 4 who are 1 have shown up to me as, I guess, what I would call light beings. I don't know what's behind the light necessarily. I'm not certain, but they were also there during my regression where I went to another planet. I call it another planet. It seemed like another planet. Then I also, the beings that came into my bedroom, I believe were the same 4 beings, but they were shapes. It was as if the densest thing in the bedroom, like the bed and the walls, were the darkest gray, and they were kind of the most solid. And when the beings came in, they were, you know, head, arms, torso, legs, I think, but they were that same dense gray mist. And so there were definitely beings there, and there were shapes, but I feel like I have very rarely been able to see what's behind how they present themselves. And I don't know why that is, but I'm grateful a little bit, because the ontological shock of these experiences on their own are enough. And I don't know if I could handle, I guess the short answer to that question is I'm not positive. My sensation is that I would have between 2 and 4 different types of beings that I've encountered.
It does seem to be, they certainly had their hand in your own personal development, you know, especially you've been struggling over trauma and addiction for all these years.
You know, that's one thing that is a really important part of my story, is that through these experiences, I have grown. They have fueled my own personal evolution. And that is not to say that it hasn't been traumatic, because it has, but I've made massive major changes in my life directly related to these experiences. And I think skepticism is a good idea. I think my resistance that I felt, and the difficulty that I've had accepting these things that have happened, is good, because whatever I'm moving towards, I want to arrive at in my sovereignty and conscious and clear, because these are relationships like any other relationships. You know, you wouldn't just leave your door open and whoever wants to come be in your house and sit in your table gets to come do that. And I think of these relationships in the same way, that they need to be developed with consent on both sides, with everybody having sovereignty. Otherwise, these are things that are just happening to me and I'm a victim of them. And so that's a really important part of this for me. And the experiences have strengthened me and my spiritual practice and my greater understanding and my own autonomy. Absolutely.
What advice would you give anyone else out there that are kind of struggling with these type of experiences?
For me, when it really started to become easier for me is when I found community, when I found other people who were having experiences and didn't just want to think of them in a way that was almost too easy. You know, it wasn't helpful for me to talk to people who said, yeah, these beings are going to save the earth. They're going to they're coming here to rescue us. And it also wasn't helpful for me to have the lens of, oh, they're only dark and evil. Like, I needed to find a community where I could, that could hold that complexity with me and understand that it deserves a broader lens, and that I needed to find people that could hold that liminal space with me, that could understand paradox, that could think about all of this really, really deeply. Finding that community was tremendously helpful. And then, you know, working with a helper who could help me with my spiritual practice and teach me about working with my guides and setting up protection and all of those things that, you know, because of all of this, I had looked at every kind of spirituality throughout my life. I've been seeking and looking for answers my entire life. But until I found a framework and a structure and started really dedicating myself to that, to those practices, it wasn't helpful. It was just platitudes, you know. So I would say find a community, find a helper, take it seriously. And only after I was able to kind of face the difficulty of it am I able to find some joy and excitement and kind of the magical side of it. But it's slow going, and it takes a lot of effort and clarity to not take the easy way out of these questions about who are they, why are they here. From my experience, that's what was helpful.
Good stuff. Okay.
Great. I love your show, and I'm very grateful to you. And I hope that you're getting a really good energy exchange with this work, because you're doing a whole lot. And so I hope it comes back to you.
You know, when I very first started the show, I was worried that I had set up like about 3 episodes, and I was worried what would happen if people wouldn't contact me. Would I have to search for people? And but that never happened, you know. By the time I'd done my second episode, I got a ton of emails. Yeah. And it just never stops. And amongst all those emails I get are people from all over the world thanking me for it. And that's enough for me. It makes me happy to read these messages and stuff every day. It's nice, you know, people going out of their way. They don't necessarily have to be people which have had experiences. I've had emails from scientists who have never really looked at the subjects in any particular way other than we've kind of, you know, kind of tongue in cheek. And they've even said, you know, these accounts have opened me up to it, and it's something now I'm going to explore, which is great.
Yeah.
And I get emails for all walks of life, from all different professions, and you name it. Even my guests, they are varied. And we don't always say what their job is. Sometimes they're quite high profile.
Well, it's wonderful. I drive a lot because my family lives about 7.5 hours away from me. And so when I get in the truck to drive, it's your podcast that I pull up and listen to on the whole way. So it's been very helpful for me to be able to share my experiences too. So thank you so much. And feel free to reach out anytime. And
I will indeed. Okay, then. I really appreciate you coming on today, Robin, and sharing your experiences with us today. And we wish you well and continuing on your journey.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. And while you're on the website, you can check out our show archives and our podcast store. A big thank you to Robin for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.